Spirit Radio Podcasts.
Now, we're going to hear a little bit of a clip from someone who was in the Brussels Zaventem Airport yesterday morning. Thankfully, we had a contact there, so we've got a wonderful insight into this. Yesterday evening, our producer, Steve, who's joining me just now, was talking to an American Christian leader called Dave Hughes, who was at Brussels Zaventem Airport yesterday when the terrorist struck. So, Steve, you're with me now. What can you tell me about this man and how he came to be in the airport?
Yeah, well, I actually got a text about it yesterday morning. So it was initially to pray for him and his wife, because it was known that he was at the airport, and not known how he was. He's a lay leader of a charismatic community in the US.
Right.
And he's also heavily involved in ecumenical work and in work for Christian Unity. And he and his wife were dropped off at the airport at 5 to 8 Brussels time yesterday, just shortly before the bombs went off. So I talked to him yesterday evening on the phone from Brussels. He was still in Brussels. And what he had to say is harrowing and a little bit hard to listen to. Obviously, he was also very shaken. So he started by saying what had brought him to Brussels that weekend.
We were in Belgium to speak at a conference on Christian freedom, and concluded the conference on Sunday. We spent Monday just touring around. And then Tuesday morning, we headed to the airport. So we got to the airport just before 8 o'clock, and we're dropped off outside and went into the departure hall, which was just packed with people. And we weren't sure exactly where our gate was, so we pushed through the crowd and went more towards the back of the departure hall, where there's a small information area. And that's when the first bomb went off to the right of us, several hundred feet away. And so we immediately went to the ground. My wife was with me, traveling with me, made sure she was safe. She was on the ground. She was praying. And I just looked around to see if I could understand what was going on. People, it was just chaos, People running, smoke, people screaming. And then about 30 seconds after the first bomb, the second one went off, and it was a good bit closer to us. It was behind us, probably about 100 feet away. And it's quite personal at that point. It was quite threatening. You feel these things. I mean, you feel them in your chest, the concussion. So we ducked behind a counter there, the information counter, and then some people from the airport pulled us into the law office back there. They were very kind. And there was a family in there with four small children, and a man who'd been injured in the blast, and a couple of other folks. So we stayed in that little office for 3 or 4 minutes, and then someone came and pulled us out, and we walked out of the airport past the explosion zone. There were some injured men on the floor. We weren't allowed to stop to help them. We were just ushered out of the building by a policeman. And then we're out in the open airport area for about an hour and a half, 2 hours. And then I spoke with the policeman. He said, well, just walk out. So we walked out of the airport to a village a mile or so away, and called some friends who came and picked us up.
Did you have any way of contacting people while you were waiting?
Yeah, but cell phone coverage was extremely patchy. We got a call from one of our friends, but we couldn't call him back. So, yeah, we were able to contact people, but it was very, very ragged.
So it was a while before you were able to let family members know and things like that you were okay?
Yeah, well, praise God, they were in the United States, and they were all sleeping peacefully. So by the time they woke up in the morning, we were able to get a text message out to them and then call them. We were able to call each of our five children and make sure they knew we were well.
At the airport when the bombs went off, were there people there from all different nationalities, Dave?
Yeah, it's quite a, Brussels Airport is quite a polyglot place. I remember seeing a number of Asian folks, some Indian folks, just all variety, shapes and sizes. So families, Brussels, of course, is a meeting place for many nations. So,
have you been able to see how the city, the authorities and the Belgian people are responding to these attacks?
Yeah, well, certainly they shut everything down, which I think was a very wise thing to do. They shut down all the transport systems, airports, trams, the trains. All the children were sent home from school. Everything was just, you know, I thought people responded extremely well. I was very impressed. The Belgian people are very patient, gentle, and good people, but I think their anger, once aroused, will be substantial. So,
now, Dave, you're a Christian leader. How does an experience like this affect your outlook on life?
Well, it's still pretty fresh, I have to say. You know, I guess the overriding sense, first, it's a very surreal experience. It's like, this can't be happening, right? This should be on television. So it's a surreal experience. It's very chaotic. My immediate reaction was just to make sure my wife was okay. We were very glad we were together. I think on some reflection, I guess the other thing that struck me was just the sense of evil in walking past these damaged human beings bleeding and dying. It's just unjust. It's wrong. You know, just a sense of evil was quite profound. Maybe as well just the sovereignty of God. I mean, if we had been 30 seconds later pushing through that crowd, we would have been gone, you know. So it's sobering, you know, the sense of evil, a sense of injustice, a sense of this is not right and God is not pleased and something must be done. I mean, there's just this strong sense that this must be stopped. So those are some early reflections. I'll hopefully have more later as I reflect on it, but
quite
a shocking day.
Gosh, we were just listening to Dave Hughes there, who was at this event in Mareport, being interviewed by Steve. Steve's with me. Steve, what struck you about that interview? I mean, it's harrowing stuff, as far as I can tell.
Well, just that the immediacy of it, this had just been a few hours, so just the immediacy of what they'd been through. And also just that this could have happened to anyone. You know, I've been through that airport. I know quite well the man who dropped them to the airport, and that this was just a deliberate attack on men, women, children. He mentioned, you know, four children, like a family in that office that he was brought into. So, you know, this attack was targeted on families, on men and women, people of all languages, all nationalities. And then I suppose just the impact of thousands of people, you know, have him kind of saying, you know, letting my five children know, they may well have grandchildren too, you know. So, you know, how many other thousands of people have been affected by an attack like this in quite a direct way, you know, really struck me.
It's striking how interconnected we all are. I mean, the fact that you've got someone you knew who would, you know, 30 seconds ahead, if they'd been a bit quicker, they could be gone now. And, you know, all the people they're connected to. And I think about my experience. I was in London during the London bombings. And, you know, the familiarity and the people that all the trains that you get every day. And we're a lot more connected than we think. You know, that's the thing that's sort of striking me from what you're saying.
There's all
these knock-on effects, and you think it's just those people in the newspaper headline getting affected. There's this huge knock-on effect, isn't there?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, please God that they will get home today. You know, they had to rearrange their plans, and they're hoping to get home today from another airport in another country. And so it certainly has me, you know, feeling very close to the situation, very much kind of the need to kind of pray for the people of Belgium. And I'd kind of encourage people, if you know people, you know, living in Belgium, to pray for them, to let them know you're praying for them. I was also struck, I suppose, by, you know, Dave talked about, he mentioned evil, you know, and just a reminder that, you know, this is, you know, as it says in the Bible, we're not struggling with flesh and blood, but with the spiritual powers, that we're in a spiritual battle that has real life consequences, that people make choices, and they can be wrong choices that can harm others.
And that was interesting, wasn't it? Him talking about the sense of something, this is just
this
pure
is not
evil.
Right. Yeah. And I suppose sort of the other way we can respond is to choose life ourselves, to avoid sin ourselves, to combat evil through forgiving others, asking God for forgiveness for our own failings, and just praying for his mercy and protection, and not just for ourselves, but for others. As we say, you know, we are so interconnected, and we so much need one another. So, yeah.
Well, there you go.
Please God, they'll have a safe trip home today.
They're planning to get home today, is that right? Yeah.
Yeah, and for everyone travelling at this time, I think we just need to keep them all in prayer, you know, that they are able to travel safely and smoothly. And just for protection and, you know, that things like this, you know, will be foiled. And I suppose just a reminder that prayer has power, you know, and, you know, as we pray for protection, you know, that God can answer these prayers.
Yeah, indeed. Absolutely. And our heart really goes out to all those affected by it. And Steve, appreciate your insights into it too. Thanks for that.
Thanks, Tom.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.